This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hello, this is John Bucher. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Oberlin College, and I'm joined today for a conversation by the Manager for Knowledge Management at Indiana University, Chuck Aikman. Thanks for joining us today, Chuck.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start by, I guess I want to ask you, what is Qawali or what is knowledge management and how do you measure success in your position at Indiana University?
Great, that's a good question. So Qawali is a community of institutions that are all about developing software for higher ed by higher ed. And so they provide solutions that other institutions can use, and it's usually done with a collaborative effort from the institutions that are a part of the community. And knowledge management is the field that I manage at IU, and it's our knowledge base, which is a repository of information, of answers that faculty, staff, and students need for meeting their technology questions, questions about the university processes and things they need to do in their various roles at the university. And so we see Qawali is an opportunity for us to build our new system in an open source model that can be shared with other institutions. Our goal is to deliver the critical information that faculty, staff, and students need when and where they need it. And so we use metrics to trend how people are consuming our information. We have feedback on every answer that they get. You know, we have a feedback loop that we monitor that helps us know if we're meeting their needs or not.
Well, many of us are familiar with your knowledge management system. I mean, we've tapped into it. A lot of schools, big and small, have been in awe, really, of IU's system. Are we going to notice the differences, those of us who have kind of lurked out there and looked at your product?
The biggest difference is people ask us all the time, can we have your knowledge base? And the way we currently deliver it is not a scalable or shareable model. It's really grown over 20-plus years of, really it was support consultants initially finding ways to file away answers that they needed to reuse. So Qawali is going to give us the ability to develop a shareable product that other institutions can use, or perhaps the end solution might be a cloud service that people could subscribe to. So initially there won't be a big difference in the way that people consume the information. The big difference is going to be the way we manage the information, and we will no longer be, I have a team of 8 technical writers and editors, and they're the only ones that can input content into the system directly and manage it and publish it. And this new quality management system will give us a way to allow others to be direct contributors to the information flow.
How does this map into student expectations at your campus and the other campuses of the Indiana system? Do you think student expectations have changed in the last year or two?
I think there's a couple of factors that change the expectation and demands. One, that, you know, we've all been talking for a few years now about digital natives, right? So we're seeing every year young people who have grown up on technology in ways that those of us who are delivering it, a lot of it, don't understand or cannot relate to directly. So I think their expectations are very high. They expect ubiquitous access, basically wherever they are, whatever they're using, they expect to be able to get the answers. And the proliferation of powerful mobile devices has really impacted that. And the other thing, I think, because they are very savvy and they grow up in sort of this community that is no longer bound by space and locale, that they want to contribute. They want to be able to contribute what they know to help other people, or they want to be able to kind of comment and tweak what's being said by others. And so I think it has to be a really porous system that allows people to pull information out easily and also to be able to contribute their information. So,
as much as students want to do this, do you feel as I do that they want the quick answers, but oftentimes they're not willing to put in the effort to get those answers? In other words, they want them right now. You used ubiquitous, and of course they want them anywhere, anytime. But the digital natives sometimes, I think, are not quite as aggressive in their technology pursuits as much as they are in their information pursuits.
That could be true, and I think we want to find ways to simplify getting the information. I think we can leverage the technology that's in their hand in a way that makes it easier for them to
okay.
To get the information without them having to really be maybe technically savvy. I mean, if you look at the iPhone and the iPad and the types of interfaces that are out there now, they're really intuitive for people to use. And so if we can find ways to leverage those sort of mechanisms to deliver answers to people, I think it will won't cause them to have to pursue the information.
So that's a major goal of yours, no doubt.
Yeah, it's kind of a long-term goal. I mean, sure. Right now, we're really trying to rebuild our current system to mm-hmm. replace, because what we work with now is a pretty aged system and has some real constraints. And future phases of this project will add more and more modern features, you know, some social aspects and ways for people to consume it on various platforms and things.
Talk about a little bit about the collaboration with other universities that you either are doing or intend to do.
Well, there's a couple aspects of that. We've actually collaborated with multi-institution communities for years. We work heavily with Sakai that delivers open source learning management system. And we have a branding of that at IU that we call OnCourse. But we deliver the help content and the knowledge base for every Sakai school as well as our own. So we're used to working with multiple institutions where perhaps one school's deployed one tool and another hasn't. Maybe there's branding differences. So we single source the information and then we can tailor it upon delivery into whatever environment we know who's consuming it. So that's going to help us. What we want to be able to do is scale that out to other institution partners. We also work with TerraGrid and FutureGrid and Exceed, which are NSF-funded grid computing, research computing organizations. So we work with multiple institutions there. So we have experience working across institutions to deliver common information that may be slightly different at the region or locale where it's delivered. Now, currently with the Quali model, we're a proposed project. We're actually part of a larger proposal for Quali IT support, where we figure that there are other institutions like Indiana University that have unique support solutions that they've developed that might be of value to other institutions. For example, ways we deliver notifications about central systems, or ways that we get students on the network when you've got 30,000 students coming onto your campus, ways that we deliver software online, and perhaps trouble ticket systems. You know, we all sort of fight the same battles, which is why Quali came about, that the business software solutions aren't always a perfect fit for universities and other higher ed institutions. So right now we have a proposal and we're trying to get collaborators and partners. We're partnered with the University of Hawaii on the knowledge management system. They're mm-hmm. our initial partner, but they've actually been disengaged from the project for several months because this first phase is really focused on replacing IU's current system. And so what we want to do is get that up and running, be able to demonstrate to people what we're doing and where the value points are, and get collaboration from other institutions to really get this thing up and flying.
Many people listening to this podcast are probably associated with small to medium-sized schools. And I think all of us can get excited about this project. The more we know about it, the nicer it looks, and we'd like to learn more. Do you see opportunities for those of us at small to medium-sized schools in the next year or two?
Our target right now is to, at the end of October, we should finish our development on our what we're calling our baseline or 1.0 version, and that's really focused strictly on Indiana University and our uses. And we hope to be up and running on that in June of next year. And that won't change a lot on the front end, the way people consume our information, but it's going to lay a foundation that will allow us to share out with other schools more. I think for smaller schools, it's probably not going to make sense to download our software and run the knowledge management system, because you're not going to have people or the culture to really contribute to it.
Right.
We have over 100 subject matter experts and owner groups that contribute content to us. So we have a really rich culture.
Where are those people? Are they?
They're in other units within our central IT. They're at various campuses. They may be in schools and departments.
So with regard to sharing these services, really, you need to get the word out, don't you? You need people to start building their knowledge base.
I've said for a while that there's probably about 18 months of evangelizing that needs to take place to really get people aware of this.
On the part of IU, on the part of your group?
Probably or? Myself and, okay. and Sue Workman, our Associate Vice President of Support. She's been a huge advocate for this.
This project, you've given us a big picture. What's happening in the next 60 to 90 days with this project?
Well, for us, we are targeting the end of October, the end of this month, to complete our initial core development. And so we'll immediately go into testing with our functional group, and it'll be the first time we've got a holistic they've been testing components, but we'll have the holistic solution for them to start testing. And we'll be identifying what the bugs are and where the gaps are and iterating over those, looking to freeze our code in probably January or February and do an initial early pilot.
Well, it's been a successful product all along. Many of us have watched it from the outside. And now with this new direction or new embellishment that you're taking, it's even more exciting. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.